Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in James chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, titled, God Resisteth the Proud. We invite you to contact us using our email address, BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can send letters to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Any checks or money orders sent to us should be made out to Bible Believers Fellowship. You can also contact us and donate on our website, bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in James chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, titled, God Resisteth the Proud. This is part 1 of 2. For our current events update, headline reviews in the news. We have headline number one is the deep state globalist woke general. Is his name pronounced Miley or Millie? Millie Vanilli. That's how you remember. Remember that group? They were a bunch of fakes like General Millie. Yeah. This is the headline. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading it. Trump on dumbass Millie. Action should be taken immediately for secret calls with China. Yep. Former President Donald Trump castigated Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley in a statement on Tuesday after a new book alleged he had taken secret action to limit the president's authority in the wake of January 6 and told China that he would give them advance notice if the U.S. were to attack.
Whoa.
That's treason. The only reason he would get by with this, it tells you that we're already surrendered to the United Nations. There's something that we don't know going on with the elites in this country, but that is treason.
Yes.
The book by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa alleged that Milley called a secret meeting at the Pentagon after the Capitol breach on January 6 and told senior military leaders to notify him in case the president wanted to order a nuclear weapons attack. I'm sorry. All these people who think that Trump, they created in their minds that he was going to start a nuclear war. You remember they did the same thing with Ronald Reagan. They are projecting. If we ever have a nuclear war, you can guarantee it'll be a liberal pushing that button.
Yep.
It always is, every time we go to war. The book also alleged that Milley held two secret phone calls with his Chinese counterpart 4 days before the 2020 election and after January 6 to reassure him that the U.S. would not attack China, and if it did, he would alert him immediately. I'm telling you, liberals like Milley are the enemy of our constitutional republic. When George W. Bush, who's not a conservative, he's a neocon. He's not a conservative. And when he stood up at 9/11 commemoration and pointed the finger at Trump supporters, did you see that? How many of you saw that? George W. Bush said that you and I are the most dangerous threat to this country.
More than Al-Qaeda.
More dangerous than Al-Qaeda or ISIS. It's just so much that could be said about that. But I'm telling you, this is all just setting the stage for the rapture, the beginning of the beast system, and the destruction of the United States of America as you know it. And we will not get in the way of anyone who wants to attack Israel.
Yeah,
and that opens the way for the fulfillment of Revelation 12.
Yep.
Trump's response. He says, quote, if the story of dumbass General Mark Milley, the same failed leader who engineered the worst withdrawal from a country, Afghanistan, in U.S. history. So Milley is a loser. He's an imbecile, and he's a traitor. What else can you say about a general? leaving behind many dead and wounded soldiers, many American citizens, and $85 billion worth of the newest and most sophisticated military equipment in the world, and our country's reputation is true. He's saying, if all that story about Milley is true, then I assume he would be tried for treason, in that he would have been dealing with his Chinese counterpart behind the president's back and telling China that he would be giving them notification of an attack. Can't do that.
That's right.
The correct immediate response is clear. Rand Paul and Marco Rubio are just two of the senators calling for him to be immediately removed or fired. And if you wonder, that clown over there to the right wearing 4 stars on his shoulder is a disgrace to every 4-star general this country has ever had.
Yep.
Number two, meanwhile, the sodomites continue to come for the children. Cartoon Network and HBO Max are targeting preschoolers with woke animated shows. This is one coming out called Little Ellen. It's that little pervert on the far right corner down there, Ellen, that a lot of Christians watch her show like they haven't got a brain in their head. They're making a cartoon based on her childhood. Little Ellen, walking around with a little sodomite rainbow on her chest. And I'm not playing the little trailer there, but then I'm just going to give you some more examples of how the sodomites are coming for the children. There's this. Lego introduces Queer Eye toy set inspired by the Netflix show of sodomites. A show about sodomites. Legos for the kids. Isn't that sweet? There's what the box looks like when you buy it.
Nope.
The effort to pervert the children is an endless onslaught at this point. I'm going to show you 15 examples brought to you by a sodomite, Kelly Martinez, who works for BuzzFeed. 15 examples of LGBT characters on kids' shows, and this sodomite says, because sometimes TV does good things. She'll burn in hell if she don't repent. That's child abuse. That's not a good thing. Mr. Ratburn on Arthur. That's PBS. Gay marriage for your children. Susan and Cheryl on the show Good Luck Charlie. That's Disney. Ruby and Sapphire on the show called Steven Universe, Cartoon Network. Rachel Bighead. It's a trans on Rocco's Modern Life, also on Netflix. Aunt Holiday and Auntie Lofty on My Little Pony, Hasbro. The Friendship is Magic is, I guess, the episode or the version of it. I don't know anything about it. Cyrus Goodman on the Andy Mack Show on Disney. Princess Bubblegum and Marceline, I guess I should pronounce that, Adventure Time on Cartoon Network. Harold and Howard McBride and the show Loud House, that's a Viacom cartoon. Asami Sato and Korra, The Legend of Korra, Viacom. Milo, Danger and Eggs on Amazon. That's why we've canceled our Amazon Prime subscription. Flicks and Okra on Star Wars Resistance. It's a Disney. Sheriff Blubbs and Deputy Durland on Gravity Falls. Again, Disney. EJ and Sue Randall on Clarence. It's a trans couple. Cartoon Network. And rounding it out is Josh on The Lodge and Jackie Lynn Thomas on Star vs. the Forces of Evil, both Disney. Preparing this generation to love the sodomite Antichrist that's coming.
That's right.
He'll be a vile person.
Yep.
which in the scripture is tagged along with being sodomites. He also will not regard women. Is it worth, or is watching this trash worth your relationship or that of your children with God? That's a question that Christians have got to start asking if they're watching this stuff. Because in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, we're told, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Not Greg. The Lord. "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, on a couple of occasions in the past, shows have broached the homo thing, and then as a result of either backlash or ratings or whatever, they dropped it. And I know a couple of people who continue watching a show like that in the past, and I've told them, I said, first of all, it's between you and the Lord anyway, but I think, yeah, you support them if they do that. You know, if a show comes out with it, but then they retract it, you can support them and say, well, as long as you keep that stuff off there, we'll watch your show. Well, it really has happened in a show now recently. It didn't happen recently in reality, but for Jenny and I, it happened recently. A show that has aired years past called Murdoch Mysteries. It's a Canadian show. And they had a season 8, I think it was. They had a segment of shows where they brought out one of the characters came out lesbian with another woman. And this was supposed to be like 1901 in Canada. So we were going to stop watching it. Well, then I did some research and looked, and they got rid of the characters and totally went away from the story, as far as I can tell. And there's several seasons already after that, and it's still on. So that's an example of, you know, hey, people spoke. They said that this was Canadians. And, you know, they were saying, you know, you're ruining this family show. And so they listened. Write letters, turn it off, whatever. And if they do what's right, you can watch it as long as it's decent. But if not, you should turn it off. And what was the other show? There was a show we were going to watch, a couple of shows we were going to watch. And it was like, yeah. Yeah. It's just sometimes you just turn it off. Huh? A. It's A. Do you see that, A? I doubt it. We're going to cover two whole verses tonight. We're actually going to use our study from last week to set the stage for what we're going to talk about tonight. God resisteth the proud. James 4, 5, and 6. And you'll recognize verse 6 from our study last week if you were here or listened online. Let's read verses 5 and 6 together. "Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." God's people say amen.
Amen.
We covered verse 5 in our previous study, but begin there for context in verse 5. And we won't rehash the message. How many times have you been to a Bible study and a fellow get up and end up spending half the time talking about what he taught last week? I fight that temptation. But we read, "Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit," that's a small s, not the Spirit of God, but the Spirit in you and me. It's a fallen spirit. We're sinners. And it says, "Where the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy." You have to leave? Oh, that's not good. Yeah, be safe. Good night. "But he giveth," or it says, "the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy." Big question mark there. And we discuss that, how that it is our spirit in us that is the problem. And what do we need? We need what's answered there in verse 7 or verse 6. Our spirit lusteth to envy and must be brought under control of God's Spirit, capital S. In other words, we need God's what?
Grace.
People like to argue about the definition of grace. And it just basically means that it's something you don't deserve. And now, people, if you do the study, the word mercy and the word grace does have a difference of meaning. And mercy is you not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve.
Right.
See? Mercy is he didn't throw you in hell the first time you sinned. Grace is that you sinned and yet he still saved you. See, that's the difference between the two. Mark?
I was always told that the letters of grace of God's riches in Christ is
best. And that's what I'm talking about right there. Is that's not a bad, what's that called?
Acronym.
But people debate that. They'll say it's not really as good a definition. I'm like, you know, I don't want to strive over words. I want to understand this, that I deserve to be in hell and that he didn't put me in hell even before I saved. He was having mercy on me. I don't deserve to be saved. I'm not saved because of my works. I'm saved because of what Jesus did for me. And that's what that acronym Mark just gave you says. So I'm fine with that. Now, some people have tweaked it and this and that, but as long as you don't contradict what the Bible teaches, I'm cool. I'm good with that. But he giveth more grace. That's another thing. Grace is a gift. Grace is not something you can earn, and that's where the merit issue comes up. It's not something you merit. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you earn. And who does he not give his grace to? That's what the first part of the rest of the verse says there. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the what?
The proud.
Hey, if you've done much witnessing in your life, I'll guarantee you one thing. If you think about it, you'll realize that most all the people who reject the gospel do so out of pride. Too proud. A lot of people too proud to admit they need to be saved in the first place. You know how many times I've stood there, I can't speak for everybody here, but how many times I've stood there talking to somebody and tried to get them to admit they're a sinner? And it's not that they won't admit they're a sinner, but they spend all their time excusing themselves and saying, well, I'm not as bad as most people. I haven't killed anybody. Yeah. I'm not a rapist. And if you may not know how to answer that, so let me help you out, because this I learned from others. This isn't my great discovery, but I was very glad when I was taught this, that when someone says something like that, you respond by saying, well, wait a minute now. Let's just hypothetically say you did murder somebody. Do you think going in front of the judge and saying, yeah, but I haven't raped anybody, and I just murdered that person, that one person, that one day?
Just that one time.
And I've lived my whole life not murdering people. And you're just going to ignore that? Think how crazy that would sound in a court of law.
Sure.
Well, that's how crazy it sounds, really, if you think about it, when people say that when you're witnessing to them. And they're certainly not going to try that at the judgment.
Amen.
They will not try to excuse their sin for the fact that they didn't sin as much as they could have at the great white throne. Mark? There's only one lawyer for hire.
Well, that's Jesus.
And if you haven't received him before death, he refuses to represent you because you rejected his offer.
That's right.
you are covered with blood.
Yeah. And anybody there without the blood doesn't have an attorney. We learn in Scripture, God hates pride. Amen? That's why it's so amazing to me you have professing Christians who take part in pride events, or at least will tell people, well, you know, it's their thing, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Have you read the Bible any time in your lifetime? The Bible says God hates pride. So Pride Month is an abomination. Pride parades are an abomination. Pride is the opposite of the Spirit of Christ. Whatever Christ is, it's not pride.
That's
I had somebody one time say, well, you know, he's the most arrogant person who ever lived. Yeah, and is it, well, he boasted and claimed to be God? That's not boasting when it's true. He was telling you the truth. And he claimed to be this and claimed to be... I said, it was all true. It's pretty amazing. Those people, I pray for their soul. People repent before it's too late. But let's do a little scripture with scripture. Pride is the original sin of Lucifer. Go over to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And I get in a little trouble with people, but I believe that Eve did not commit the first sin. I mean, to rephrase that, it's not even something I believe. I just know she didn't commit the first sin. Eve's sin was the first sin among the creation of the earth from the first day of creation on. And Eve's sin brought death upon creation, the creation of Genesis 1:3 through the rest of the chapter. And that's what you read about here in Ezekiel 28, beginning of verse 11, says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now, because of that right there, people who don't have the Spirit of God or don't have discernment or refuse to receive truth on whatever level, don't understand that many times the prophets spoke to the power, humanly speaking, but spoke to the power behind that human. So when he spoke to the king of Tyrus here and speaks to the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14, we're going to see in a second, he's speaking to the power behind that. Just like when he looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because Peter was under the influence of Satan. So he spoke to the power behind Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Same thing's true here. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now here's, you're going to be given a clear hint in every one of these prophecies that I just mentioned, where he's speaking to the power behind the earthly power. He's going to tell you right off that he's not talking to the man, he's talking to the power behind the man. Look at verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, how many of you know the king of Tyrus was never in Eden? See? So God makes it pretty easy for those who will pay attention. And he describes the beauty. Now, this is what he looked like, I believe, before he was cursed in the garden. And so he didn't look like what a lot of people, they'll picture a snake with little arms or something. And that's, he was a beautiful creature and cursed then to be what we now see as a serpent in some form or other at that time. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. That's why so much of our music is satanic. Why? Because Satan is a musical creature. And so when you're all into the Beatles and singing and glorifying drugs and the occult and everything years ago, didn't realize what you're saying and singing. Lucy in the sky with diamonds, LSD. Strawberry fields forever shooting up. Strawberry fields. Yeah. We all live in a yellow submarine. That's what, you know that?
That's shooting up too.
No, no. That's different. But what's the yellow submarine? Quaalude. Yeah, all their songs after a certain point became all about drugs and all about the occult.
1967 on.
Hey Jude, but then remember, My Lord. You remember that? And it was a tribute to Hinduism, the Hindu gods, Krishna. On and on it goes, and it's just one of the groups. The Beatles is one of them. Look at verse 14, still describing Lucifer. Thou art the anointed cherub. that covereth. So when you read about the cherubs in the Old Testament at the mercy seat, he was originally one of them. And I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's something we can't imagine. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. See, he was created sinless. Till what? So he had a free will. And he made the choice to rebel from the heart first. And then verse 16 says, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. And then we see the consequences. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub.